Picture a Japanese television crew filming a genetics lecture at MIT. The professor, Eric Lander, explains DNA with such infectious enthusiasm that you'd think he was revealing the secrets of the universe, which, in a way, he is. But here's the twist. This isn't just for the students sitting in that lecture hall. It's for anyone, anywhere, with an internet connection. What started as a simple recording has sparked a revolution that's dismantling the centuries-old gates of higher education. We're witnessing the birth of what might be called the University of Everywhere, a world where the word admission becomes as outdated as a rotary phone. Instead of begging elite institutions for acceptance, students will cherry-pick learning from specialized organizations across the globe, accumulating digital evidence of their knowledge rather than collecting dusty diplomas. The institutions flexible enough to adapt will flourish. The rest will become expensive museums of an educational model that no longer serves us. This isn't a distant fantasy. It's already happening, and the implications are staggering. The first university emerged in Bologna around 1088, with students hiring and fining professors for tardiness. That power dynamic flipped when the University of Paris organized around faculty grouped by disciplines, a model dominating for eight centuries. Authorities have always feared technology. Socrates worried writing would weaken memory. When Gutenberg's press arrived, Parisian professors banned silent reading, terrified of losing control. Universities survived because books stayed expensive, and institutions offered irreplaceable value, teachers, community, and credentials. America's story began with Harvard, founded just 8 years after the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Post-Civil War, three visions competed: vocational training, German-style research, and liberal arts. Harvard's Charles William Eliot merged them into the modern university, bachelor's degrees feeding professional schools, electives replacing rigid curricula, PhDs becoming standard credentials. Critics immediately spotted the flaw. This system served researchers' needs, not students. George Washington University's Gothic architecture feels oddly manufactured. One student calls it the world's most expensive trade school. President Stephen Joel Trachtenberg, 1988 to 2007, deliberately transformed an affordable commuter school into America's priciest university, grasping a counterintuitive truth. In higher education, demand increases as prices rise. Universities aren't selling education, they're selling status. Trachtenberg compared college to vodka. Vodka is by definition a flavorless beverage. It all tastes the same. But people will spend $30 for a bottle of Absolut because of the brand. By 2014, GW charged $47,000 in tuition plus $11,000 for room and board. Despite bachelor's degrees rising from under 10% in 1960 to over 33% today, the wage premium kept growing. By 2005, college graduates earned 80% more per hour than high school graduates, double the 1977 premium. Yet public university tuition more than tripled since the late 1980s, and by 2012, 71% of students graduated with nearly $30,000 in debt. Competition shifted to status-seeking. Colleges constantly one-upping each other with famous scholars and fancy buildings, passing costs to students. If education were about presenting information, Gutenberg's printing press would have destroyed universities centuries ago. Learning isn't passive absorption, it's active knowledge construction. Your brain's 80, 100 billion neurons form trillions of connections, and education deliberately rewires these networks. Experts develop sophisticated pattern recognition through practice. Chess masters consider strategic principles rather than individual moves. Expert quarterbacks instantly process complex movement patterns that overwhelm novices. Patrick Supps, born in Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl, joined Stanford in 1950 and established an educational computing laboratory in 1963. He predicted technology could provide every student with personalized tutoring like Alexander the Great received from Aristotle. His systems tracked each student's learning history, allowing some to progress 5 to 10 times faster than peers. Hundreds of studies confirmed that the medium doesn't matter for learning outcomes, design does. Unlike previous technologies that merely stored information, computers could process, analyze, and act on it. Yet, despite promising innovations, technology failed to transform higher education. By 2013, college costs had increased 80% after inflation since 1995, with student loan debt growing tenfold. Like biological evolution creating elegant systems through competition, human organizations develop according to their environments. Traditional universities spent a century shielded from competitive pressures. The University of Everywhere would emerge from Silicon Valley with its unique combination of money, talent, and cultural prestige. Sebastian Thrun, an AI pioneer who built self-driving cars at Google, was inspired by Khan Academy to bring college courses online. In 2011, he and Peter Norvig offered their Stanford graduate course, Introduction to Artificial Intelligence, online for free. When Stanford restricted what credentials he could offer, Thrun founded Udacity. Meanwhile, Coursera pursued a different strategy, creating a platform for elite universities to offer courses online. Co-founded by Stanford professors Andrew Ng and Daphne Koller, Coursera exploited universities' fear of being left behind. Within a year, 3 million students enrolled in over 400 courses. Various startups targeted different segments. Ben Nelson's Minerva project offered a $10,000 a year education, 75% cheaper than Ivy's, with students rotating through international cities. Dev Bootcamp taught just enough to start a career in 9 weeks. The unbundling of traditional university services into specialized pieces had begun. Following MIT's OpenCourseWare initiative, MIT launched MITx in December 2011. Harvard partnered with MIT in May 2012 to create edX, with CEO Anant Agrawal declaring their mission to educate a billion people around the world. Attending Eric Lander's genetics class in person at MIT revealed something surprising. Live lectures are actually worse than their online versions. Without the pause button, note-taking became difficult while trying to keep pace with rapid delivery. The lecture hall's acoustics and distractions made the experience inferior to watching at home with headphones at your chosen time. Visiting 93-year-old Patrick Suppis at Stanford revealed a man still intellectually vibrant and actively publishing. Suppis criticized MOOC pioneers for being completely naive about the history of educational technology. Yet he remained convinced computers would revolutionize education, predicting an inevitable revolution in college education. Credentials are currency, valuable only through collective agreement. We've decided diplomas unlock employment, but there's no natural law requiring this. This disadvantages millions of Americans without bachelor's degrees who possess real knowledge and skills but lack formal credentials. Mozilla's Open Badges offers an alternative, a decentralized credential system where anyone can create badges using common protocols. The power lies in metadata, who issued it, when, requirements, and portfolio links. Participants include Disney Pixar, Intel, NASA, and the Smithsonian. The University of Everywhere emerges from converging forces. Computing power increases while costs plummet. Organizations build high-quality courses distributed freely. Meanwhile, the global middle class explodes, projected to grow from 1.8 billion in 2029 to 4.8 billion by 2030. These billions will demand education, but traditional infrastructure is too expensive. Digital learning will generate unprecedented data, with machine learning finding patterns in trillions of points. Future education will blend rich human interaction, courses alongside hundreds of thousands of global peers, with small local mentored groups. New institutions won't need hundreds of professors and expensive buildings. They'll be human-scale organizations, numerous as churches, where people gather to access the University of Everywhere. Technology will make education better, but not easier. Global standards will rise to match the world's most capable students. The gates are opening. The question isn't whether you'll walk through them, but whether you're ready for what lies beyond.